Welcome to Great Minds, and we have a special Vienna, Austria edition today, live from across the ocean to a wonderful and wonderful place. We have with us Alexander Igelsbach. Alexander is the CEO and co-founder of Adverity. They are an incredibly powerful leading edge intelligent marketing analytics platform. They're knee deep in the most interesting space in our business, which is that intersection of data and marketing. They are all about making better decisions, improving performance, and making things work a little bit faster and a little bit easier. So Alexander, great to talk to you today, and very much looking forward to our conversation and to having you as a guest here on Great Minds.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. It's really a great honor. Thank you.
Well, wonderful to have you. So Alexander, you and I are give or take the same age, and you started working long ago, I guess I go way back to your days as a product manager about 20 years ago for 3 United AG. And I'd love to get your perspective, having looked at the whole continuum of technologically driven change, kind of give us some remembrances from where we were from a tech vantage point 20 years ago, what was on your plate. And I want to talk about the journey forward, of course, and hone in on Adverity. But, you know, let's talk a little perspective, because an awful lot has happened in what to me is a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's interesting you say that, because we always forget to take a look at the macro perspective and to the bigger perspective, because when you think about the technology shifts that have happened in the last 20 years, that's actually really great and how the stuff has accelerated in a way. As you say, 3 United AG was a company very much around this mobile messaging, text messaging. We did this American Idol text voting, who were the best performers, etc. So we did that in the US a lot. And from there on, when you think about it, it was actually more or less the initial phases of the iPhone coming in as well, iOS, Android, this whole ecosystem that has been shaped around the mobile marketing opportunities, the mobile apps opportunities, the whole ecosystem around that. And then this sheer acceleration of SaaS, of the tech, and the acceleration of business models. It's actually quite crazy what has happened in the last 20 years in this profession, as you say, from myself coming from a software product management to now running this bigger corporation on my own. So that is actually really, really crazy what has happened now, how it accelerates going forward with generative AI capabilities. I mean, when I think about the first chatbots back then and now, how this interaction with software is almost real, where you could not distinguish of a human being being on the line versus this technology versus this software. It's actually frightening and remarkable at the same time.
Great answer. Let's get your perspective. I have mine on what sort of the early landmark events were that really shaped the future. Certainly the iPhone in 2006 being one of them. But as you look back, what were those seminal landmark moments that you remember from that era?
Very good question. There's one distinct one. At 3 United, we built our own data center. So we hosted our own servers. We had backup power. We refueled the thing when stuff went down. And then came cloud infrastructure. I mean, I think this movement to cloud, where it became so easy for people to spin up infrastructure and to run and to scale, I think that is actually a fundamental shift that is sometimes overlooked. And that enables so many things. And now take a look at the hyperscalers and what's the contribution revenue of those corporations now in cloud infrastructure. You see how this tectonic shift actually was enabled by them.
And those early days, building a server, housing data, early days of the cloud, did you ever think, you know, when you're laying awake at night and, you know, just having your, you know, we have all kinds of dreams, but let's just focus on the business dreams, that we would go where we ended up going and how far this stuff would go?
Well, the slower shifts are something, as you say, you get an idea how it will end up, etc. But I think The generative AI capabilities somehow caught many of us by surprise how powerful it is. I think obviously it needs to turn out the business value, the practical applications, the revenue, sure, but the capabilities, almost nobody would have anticipated them coming so quickly and so powerful. Let's see how it, there's a lot to be proven nevertheless, but I think that nobody or almost nobody has seen coming within the last 12 months.
Yeah, no, the pace of change far exceeds what used to be referred to as Moore's Law way back when.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So we tend to have here in the States a very American-centric view of the world. We've had a lot of guests from Europe, a lot from Eastern Europe, some tremendous tech innovators coming out of places like Romania, the Ukraine, other parts of the world. Talk about what comes out of Austria and Vienna, because I don't know that we've had a guest from Vienna.
What comes out of Austria, Vienna, one can be said for sure, great technology. We are known for building great tech, great software, great SaaS. We deliver, it's reliable, it works. Where we are not known to be as good is to market it, to put it to market. We have a smaller home market, which makes it obviously disadvantages in terms of early phases or to, not early phase, to scale. Early phase is quite good, but scaling then, it's difficult. And I think that is this one core disadvantage entrepreneurs here have. We have great entrepreneurs, we have great technology, but access to capital and access to market are things that are not as well set as in the US, and that is potentially why it's sometimes a disadvantage. But I personally liked a lot creating our company here. We have great talent here. It's a great place to live at the end of the day. And therefore, actually, I think it's this ultimately for me, it's not a disadvantage.
Great, great stuff. And those early days you referred to, I remember that vividly, the, you know, voting by phone, going back to American Idol, that was considered so progressive at the time. Do you look back now and almost laugh that was considered to be, you know, state of the art, incredibly interactive, you know, whatever it was?
There was text messages voting and postcard. You could send in postcards as well. And so a text message was super progressive at the time. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk about another stop that you made, another early important player where you spent a number of years, and that was VeriSign.
Yeah, VeriSign acquired Reunited at the time. So they went into this whole messaging, interoperability of messaging between carriers, mobile phone carriers. So they went into the space, they acquired through United due to this value-added services application layer on top of these text messages like American Idol, et cetera. But that ultimately enabled in my career to be in the US. So I ran then a larger business unit. I spent a lot of time in Boston, a lot of time in Mountain View, where the headquarters was. And that gave me the US perspective early on in the career, which I liked a lot. But ultimately, I needed to decide between a corporate career in the US or getting back more to the entrepreneurial startup-ish world. And so I moved back to Austria.
At some point, you become a founder and co-found a number of companies, ultimately doing some great, great work, including an acquisition by Adidas. Talk about that decision and the constitution that is required to be a founder. I, too, am a founder of a company. That takes a little bit of bravery, a little bit of naivete, but not everyone has the fortitude to be a founder. You did, and you've done it with partners and done it very, very well.
Yeah, being a founder is ultimately, I think, the most important thing is the wish to create and to shape and to lead at the end of the day as well, leading an idea to making it real. It requires, as you see, say this naivete, 100%. Because if you would know all the different pain you need to go through, you might not opt in for this founder track. But on the other hand, you need to enjoy the challenge as well. So what I really, really enjoy the most is creating something that solves a problem of somebody and they pay money for it. That is ultimately rewarding. That you have happy customer, it doesn't matter if it's B2B or B2C, having somebody who appreciates what you do is actually the great rewarding part, and that you forget all the time a lot of pain you go through as a founder as well. And I think there were easier times to create and to run a company. When you think back now, the recent events we all have happened, I mean, the financing environment completely changed. We have a war going on in Europe. So many things, I think, not to forget COVID, where everybody was working from home from one day to the other. I mean, there were easier times to run a company, but I think this is also part of the entrepreneurial, how should I say, journey you embark, is to face it and just to navigate through it.
And you start to have some really big success. Here in the States, I remember when RGA was doing some early, very progressive work with Nike, you were doing equally progressive work with Adidas with Runtastic.
Yeah, Runtastic is a company where I got to know the founder, served his role as a business angel and board advisor for multi-years with them in that role. And it was basically this early phase of mobile apps, putting them into the market, how to run a mobile app company. Those were basically the main interactions we had on a constant basis over the many, many years. And then it was a great, great thing the Runtastic founder actually then pulled off. I mean, this was one of these key landmark successes in Austria, in this startup scene in Austria, you need to say.
And selling a company, you know, that's an emotional thing to do, also something that you created.
The true saying is selling versus buying. I mean, companies get acquired and less sold. What I mean by that is, it's so true. You're not going out there and saying, I now sell the company. You build a great company. The company works. It's growing. It's awesome. You like it. And then there comes an opportunity where somebody says, hey, let's team up. And then you think about it, and then ultimately you go for a sale. I'm not sure it's emotionally, but most of the time you embark on a new journey. There's a new setup. It's just the next chapter. It's less so that you say, oh, it's a baby and it's emotional. No, it's the next chapter of the entrepreneurial phase. It doesn't matter if it's then you acquired and team up with somebody and continue to carry the flag, or if you IPO or it's different structures. The point is, out of my perspective, it's just the next or one of the next chapters on this entrepreneurial journey.
Great, great story, and one that I have great appreciation for. But you're not done as a CEO. You're not done as a founder / co-founder. 10 years ago, and we're just about at that anniversary coming up in September, a new company is born, Adverity. Can we talk about the idea behind it? And I'd love to dig in, Alexander, to what your vision was 10 years ago and reflect on the journey that you've taken since then, where you thought you were going is where you went, and where the path diverged because of either technology, innovation, or opportunity.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's many, many folded question. It's actually quite interesting how the trigger came along in creating Adverity. So at the time I was involved, I was running an incubator in Austria. We incubated multiple different companies at the time. We incubated a company very similar to HelloFresh or Blue Apron in the US, a food recipe company. We were first time in our experience involved in a lot of advertising, TV advertising, all different media channels advertising to really pull it off. And at the time we started analyzing the efficiency of our ad spend. And there we realized when running and building this food subscription company, we realized there is no technology to analyze your marketing spend. So we started this whole research around it and said, okay, why is there none? And so we thought, is it what if Google does it? What if Facebook does it? And so no, it's not possible, because the point is this fragmentation of data is a huge, huge problem. And this is not going away. If you really want to be data-driven marketing, and it was not coined, this term data-driven marketing was not coined at the time. It was Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint. And we were strong believers that Excel and PowerPoint is the death of data. And so therefore, we kind of said, okay, we need to build a technology platform that allows you to simply get all the data and analyze the data, because otherwise you cannot accelerate. It's just having it once a month or once a quarter in a PowerPoint, it's not doing the trick anymore, because you need to accelerate to compete and move forward in the market. So that was basically this big moment where we said, okay, this is what we are going to do. And this was also for me in a moment, okay, this is what I want to do again. I want to create this company, I want to run this company. And so I teamed up with Martin and Andreas, the two co-founders of Verity, because we all were coming from different perspectives on that one. We knew each other for quite a while. We said, okay, we know it's very relevant for agencies, it's very relevant for advertisers, and ultimately everybody in the world who runs a significant marketing operation needs to have such a technology. We need to have the data, we need to have this data foundation and enable this data democratization to enable the business teams to be able to analyze data, to have decisions based on data. And that was really this moment we started creating this technology platform. We got customer early on, but that was even not, the time was not, how should I say, we were ahead of the time, because everybody was keep telling us, no, I do have an agency doing that for me. No, I do have a BI tool doing that for me. And the point was, yeah, but how do you get the data? And this was this great opportunity. Yeah, at the one hand, preparation meets the opportunity, bit of luck as well, where suddenly the whole market woke up and said, okay, we want to be data driven. We need to have a data ownership strategy in place. So that's why we need a technology like Adverity to get all the data in, have the data immediately available to our business teams, and become truly data driven. And that is just now accelerating as well. It's data everywhere. You need to have the data for sure reporting analytics. You need to have it for MMM. You need to have it for AI applications. So data is everywhere. And we are the bedrock and the backbone of the largest advertisers, of the largest media agencies in the world nowadays.
Take us behind the curtain, because I talk a lot about the space. It's a big topic on our stages all over the world at Advertising Week, but I'm not a tech person per se. I'd love, Alexander, for you to take us behind the curtain. And when we're talking about powering market intelligence, we're talking about working with both agencies and brands. Give us a look behind the curtain. And, you know, we talk, the language is used, I guess it's about real-time opportunities, you know, leveraging analytics and all of those. So I can sort of say the words, the headline, if you will, but I don't know that I really understand what it means. Hold my hand and take me behind the curtain. What happens when a new company comes in, a big global brand like a Red Bull, a global agency or network like an Omnicom? Walk us through what happens once I walk in that Adverity door.
Yeah, happy to do so. And before you walk into the Adverity door, let's start with the why and why they need it, or the use case. And truth is, all these large brands, all these advertisers, when you think about how complex the world of a CMO is, of growing a company, it's you need to understand at all time where to put your money, how to invest, how to get the better yield. And it's a complex thing. When you think about a multinational corporation, understanding where did I spend my money and where should I spend my money, that is already a difficult question to answer if you want, this is a real-time opportunity, near real-time. If you want to have visibility all the time, it's complex. If you add to that, what is the yield being generated and how can I optimize the yield? It gets even more and more complex. And then you add to that, obviously, in terms of, okay, how can I improve the experience of and for my customer, et cetera? How can I identify opportunities on the market, et cetera? It needs all this data. So this is the why, and this is what we power. And so walking you through that, behind the curtain with Adverity. First of all, we, in a process of that engagement in the early phase, we consult our clients already very much along these best practices. And there is, when you think about that on the market, there is different data maturity. Companies are at a different state of maturity. Some are still Excel spreadsheet and PowerPoints. Some made the early first steps and want to improve setup and get to the next level. And some are super sophisticated, advanced already, and really, really want to get the next 20-80% to of the journey. And so that is very critical to understand this data maturity state to be able to to not just consult, but to be able to make the customer successful on that. Because it does not, if you talk about Gen AI use cases, but on the other end, you're still at Excel spreadsheet and PowerPoint, obviously it's a mismatch. So that is very important, understanding, creating this mutual understanding, what can be done and what should be done at what phase. So that is very important is when you make a step behind the curtain and walk the first step together. And then it's all about setting up this technology, meaning getting all these data connections established, connecting to the different fragmented data silos, acquiring the data, harmonizing the data. It's super important that ultimately this data is well structured in terms of that you can compare costs, that you can compare performance metrics between different platforms, that you can blend it together with other relevant metrics and other relevant data sources. So that journey on getting all this data working together is quite critical. And then it's all about how to leverage the data. So making it accessible for the different analytics teams, making parts of it accessible for partners, making parts of it accessible for different use cases. And this is also where many clients are well knowledgeable about what they want to do. And our teams also help them in terms of creating ideas, what could be the next level and what can they do to be successful and to accelerate. And everything in this journey is automation. Everything in this journey is getting rid of manual steps, because otherwise it's error prone, labor intensive, and you would fail.
And give us a sense now, again, almost 10 years in, how is it going?
It's going really well. It's actually interesting that now with different AI applications, cookie deprecation, etc., the need for the solid data foundation has been, out of our perspective, amplified. The awareness was always there, but now it's all about having this solid data foundation, because the different applications, different consumer, the different stakeholders have been becoming more, and it swings them back that you need to have this solid data foundation, this bedrock in place, how you can really create, get this fuel into this engine in terms of becoming data driven. So fast as an organization, the last few years, as I mentioned before, there were easy times to run and build organizations. We had so many tectonical shifts in the market as well, where everybody need to cope with it. You need to adjust. You adaptability is a very important element as an entrepreneur, as an organization, to cope with changes on the market. But for us, actually, everything plays in our favor currently.
And looking ahead, I know you just brought in a new COO, really focused on that intersection and importance of the confluence of marketing, technology, and operations, increasing strength across those three verticals, if you will, and turning them really into a horizontal. But give us your sense as to where we're going. If we're doing this again in a year, Alexander, what do you think we're talking about that's different?
What's different versus what's not different? I think what's not different would be my excitement about what defines success, and excitement about growing at Verity and running at Verity, because that is a constant. That is, since we were 5 people to 250 people, that's a constant about how we are excited and getting up every day doing that. And that will continue to do so. There's always innovation. There's always bigger or smaller innovative steps towards enabling our customers. And our mission is to really have it in, as I said, every marketing operation of a significant size needs such a technology like ours. And so what will be different is we will be bigger, we have more customer, but the fundamental need won't change. The fundamental technology might change, the incremental steps might change to get to this maturity. The maturity might be more. Different applications are for sure changing, meaning sure the reporting analytics use case will be always there, but the using data for more creative aspects, as an example, in the creation of advertising and marketing, that is for sure something that will accelerate the next 12 months. Suddenly, in the creativity process, technology and data becomes more and more important. And that is also something we saw in Cannes this year, is that now data becomes so relevant also for the creativity process, and that might be something where we talk about next year that that has accelerated the change.
Well, no question, data is moving to center stage, really sitting right in between creative media, customer engagement. It's an incredible evolution that we're in the midst of. Ed Verity, one of the players that is leading that evolution, dare I say revolution. And I really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks so much for joining us here on Great Minds, Alexander.
Me too. Thanks a lot again for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Thank you.